see them, see right through them. They have a shield, nothing must be revealed. It doesn't matter what they say, no one listens anyway. I have to see them.
I'm Tom. That's Mike. We're back after a very, very long hiatus, much like Brutus Beefcake after he got hit in that parasailing accident. And we are here, episode 40 of Mike and Tom Presents. On the line, the guy that we closed out our quote-unquote first season with. He's back because we love him, you love him, we all love him. Tom Richards is on the line, and I believe we're going to be talking Tournament of Death, since you both are going. Is that correct?
I'm back. I'm back on the show, and it didn't even take another year to get me back on the show.
No, it
didn't. Yeah, we're going to TOD this Saturday, rain or shine, and right now it's calling for showers.
Oh, I didn't even know.
I've been watching the weather all week, and it's calling for showers, baby.
Well, you
want to
know what, though?
I got ponchos in the car. I'm ready.
Well, you know what? You want to know what, though, man? Like, it was supposed to be raining the past couple days, and it didn't. Like, I have.
Yeah, very true.
I had the past couple days out. I was going to go lay by the pool and all that stuff, and I thought, oh, fuck, it's going to be raining there, calling for rain. And it ended up being really sunny and nice, and it ended up being perfect. So, like, you know, that like here they were predicting, like, thunderstorms, and it was, like, the exact opposite. So maybe while we're in the middle of nowhere, Delaware, because I actually Google mapped this where it is.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
It really is. It's like an hour and a half away. So we're
it's
in
not even an hour and a half. I mean, Delaware is not very big, you know. It's just like one straight road that goes through the middle of it, and a little side stretches off it left and right, you know.
Exactly.
It's like you take two steps to left or right, and you're in Maryland or something. There's not a hell of a lot to it, you know. There's beaches and nothing else. And the Ice Farm, apparently, in the middle of it, you know.
I've never been to one, so I guess that's why I wanted to have you on real quick while we talk about this year's Tournament of Death. Tom here is going to be going to Chikara, so we'll be talking about that momentarily. But I guess as far as you and I, we'll be going with the a couple other of our buddies. We'll be going to Tournament of Death this year, and I'm really looking forward to it. Besides, you know, like the lack of I guess hype this year as opposed to I guess some previous years. It's kind of like death matches. You know, you can only go so far, I guess, in excitement anymore. But Necro's back, and you've been to plenty of death matches. This is my first one, so what's it like? I guess at the DJ Hyde Farm.
Like, deathmatch shows, like a deathmatch tournament's totally different because nobody's coming for five-star matches and great wrestling technique. So most of the people there are there to see deathmatches. So you don't have dicks, like, ripping on it and shitting on it. And you just have a lot of people are mellowed out, getting drunk, getting high, getting fucked up on whatever their drug of choice is, and having a good time. It's like a big party and a big get-together, and everybody's just loving it, hopefully if it's not raining, you know.
Has it ever rained before for, like, any...
I believe 2 years ago it was supposed to rain all day, and they actually rescheduled it for Sunday instead of Saturday.
I remember this, yes.
And I believe the turnout was... I mean, I remember going on Sunday, and it was during football season, so that certainly didn't help the cause. So, like, it was definitely a smaller crowd than they would have normally had on a Saturday. But,
Was that the one when what Moxley in a dog collar match with Thumbtack Jack that I know Tom Green is a big fan of?
I think so, yeah. Actually, yeah. I believe so.
Yeah, that match was pretty awesome, and we'll kind of tie into
it. It was there on DJ's farm when they rescheduled.
Yeah, that was I think maybe like one of the first things. But you went back, you go far back to like the original Tournament of Deaths with like Mondo and all that too, right? Like kind of like take us back to some of those years.
I didn't actually go to the original Tournament of Death because they started the Tournaments of Death back in, I believe it was 02, August 31st, 02, to be exact, like Joe Spasta. I can remember dates. XPW was debuting in Philly at the arena, and they wanted to hurt their crowd, so they ran a show in Delaware, John Zanzig's Tournament of Death, to kind of get all the CZW fans not to go to XPW. And from there, they've been doing it every year. But I actually went to the XPW show in Philly because I was kind of excited at the time to see XPW on the East Coast, believe it or not. How times have changed over the years, you know?
That was like the one good XPW show though. So I mean, it's not like it was a total loss, right? Because that
they had a hot crowd, like 800 people. The place was packed. It was a good time. And from there, we talked about XPW on past shows I was on. So go download and listen to an old one. It was all downhill from there. But yeah, CZW has been running the Tournament of Death every year since, in the summer, outdoors in Delaware.
There you go. Tom, you were going to say something. Tom Green, you were going to say.
I was just going to say that the whole mention of John Moxley versus Thumbtack Jack kind of ties into tomorrow's match of the day, so stay tuned to the website.
Yeah. I also have a match of the day, but I'll talk to you about it off the air. I want to put up, so.
All right, awesome.
Make sure I remind you off the air. But anyway.
We'll do.
I guess another big news, I guess, as well, is Ego's hurt and he's out for 6 months, so that really sucks.
That sucks for multiple reasons, because I thought Ego was, like, ready to bust out, and I believe he just won the Super Indy on Saturday.
Yes,
he
did.
In Pittsburgh, which I guess is where he got injured during that tournament, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's what he would have had to got it hurt there, because that was just on Saturday, which is, by the way, it's already available on DVD, so
you could already go. It looks like a pretty decent lineup.
Yeah, Adam Cole and El Generico, so I'm a fan of that. But, so he's out, so I guess there was going to be like a six-man that got changed to a tag match now with.
I'd so rather him just scrap that and have Devin Moore have like an open challenge for the title or something, you know?
Yeah, but exactly.
I'm sure they're still going to do the tag, but whatever. Shit happens.
Yeah.
But also on top of it, even worse, is me, Mikey, and a couple of our buddies did a thing where we picked, like, a guy who would sign with WWE by the end of the year in TNA and a guy that would get fired from each. And Eagle was my pick to get signed by WWE by the end of the year. So I guess with this injury, that loses my pick there, because he ain't getting signed if he's out the rest of the year.
I know. That's too bad. You'd think he'd be on the radar maybe coming up, but... Who knows, it's frustrating,
because I was down between him and Moxley going back and forth to who'd get signed first, and I went with Ego. I made the wrong choice. I would have already been a winner, you know?
But anyway, I guess I kind of wanted just to go over the card real quick. It's Necro Butcher against Matt Tremont. I've never seen Matt Tremont before, so I don't know anything about him. I don't know if you guys do.
I never did, but I've heard good things about him. This will be my first time seeing him.
Exactly. This is going to be, I mean, obviously, going to be my first time seeing a lot of guys. Speaking of which, you kind of go to Yaki Numazawa against Danny Havoc. And I'm a big Danny Havoc fan. And I guess him against the, a big Japan guy. I guess, like, seeing these big Japan guys with him and Masashi Takeda against Scotty Vortex. So it's going to be pretty cool seeing these big Japan guys, because he kind of fell in love with them back in December at the Cage of Death with Miyamoto and, I guess, back with Jun Kasai. So. Big fan of these big Japan guys, and I guess I'm really happy to see them back. So that'll be fun. And the other match is, I guess, going to be Masada, who I'm a huge fan of Masada, against Dysfunction. So I guess those are the eight guys in the Tournament of Death. So your thoughts on that, Tom Richards?
I'm really excited about the big Japan guys, because so far so good. Every big Japan guy that's come in to CZW and over the States has delivered big time. And this Saturday we get two for the price of one. So that's definitely a good thing and not a bad thing, you know.
Sure.
And Danny Havoc, lots of love for him. He's always good in a deathmatch setting. And I'm not as big a fan as Masada. I'm going to get crucified for this by some people. I'm not as big a fan of Masada in CZW as others. Like, when I watch his big Japan stuff, I think he's great. But to me, a lot of time in CZW, I swear he's just mailing it in for the paycheck. And maybe it's just me, I don't know. But that's just my opinion. But, I still think him and Dysfunction have a good match, because Dysfunction's one of them guys, always brings it, always gives us all, and never seems to get the hype of a lot of other deathmatch guys. And I'd love to see CZW actually book him a little more often than just TOD and COD every year, you know?
So there you go. So yeah, that's, I guess, the Tournament of Death, so we'll be there on Saturday. We'll probably record in the car on the way back, I guess, so we'll have a complete review of that on the website whenever I guess we do that, because it's gonna probably be a long ride back, I guess, right? Or no, what do we say, like an hour and a half?
I'd say maybe an hour.
All right, so that,
I don't even know if it's that far.
There you go.
That's not long. I'm going like a 2.5 or
yeah, I was gonna say I feel kind of bad saying that when I say the guy going from Indianapolis to Chicago on Friday, but I guess we'll kind of get more of that in a few minutes when we're going to have we're going to let you go here, Tom Richards, and get your boy Lenny Chikarson on the line momentarily. But before we let you go, Tom Richards, I guess we wanted to talk. What are you watching lately? I know you're very happy that your Dallas Mavericks are the NBA champions, so I guess we had talked about that previously with the Mavericks. We're still in the playoffs. Are they going to do it or are they not? And I guess they did. We even have on our website if the NBA playoffs were booked by Vince Russo or something like that. I think I kind of read it. I don't know. It was pretty funny, so you can check that out. But Tom Richards, what are your thoughts real quick, sir, on the Dallas Mavericks winning the NBA championship as well?
And here it is 9 days later, and it still, like, really hasn't set in that it happened. You know, like, well, last week I was just, like, walking on clouds all happy all week. It's been so long since any of my favorite sports teams won a championship. It's like it hasn't even happened. It's a dream. I'm just waiting for someone to wake me up. And it's just funny walking around, all these people coming up to me and congratulating me and thanking me. And, like I'm on the team or something. Like, everybody was so happy LeBron didn't win. I never seen so many people happy that my team won a championship before. It's just bizarre, you know? Usually you have a mixed bag, you know? It's just like, this time it just seemed like it was everybody against the Heat.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm just happy for Dirk, you know? He's such a good player, and for so long he struggled in the playoffs. It was great to see him finally come through this year and get his title. And hopefully they can get the team back together and go for another run next year.
Yeah, right.
Because the one thing about the Dallas Mavericks is they lost their second-best player, Caron Butler, at the end of December, and still were able to go through and win the championship. How many teams can lose their second-leading scorer and still win a championship, really, in any sport for that matter, you know?
I was thinking about that. He wasn't playing, so very cool. They'll be even better next year, so. So now you got that going on, but obviously no more hockey, no more basketball for the summer. What are you, what are you watching these days? What did you just watch recently? I know you watched the Dragon Gate show from New York City. You're a big fan of that.
Yeah, we watched the Southern Open, the Southern Gate, and then we watched the Sunday Eye pay-per-view. And both shows were tremendous from top to bottom. And I really like Dragon Gate USA. A lot of great guys. It was a shame Brody Lee got hurt on the Sunday Eye pay-per-view, and I guess he's another one out, like, at least 4 months or more.
Yeah.
Just too bad. A lot of major injuries suddenly on the indie scene in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But good shows. Worth going if you got the $15 to order them on the on-demand, which they just announced you get to keep the shows forever now. So they're finally
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and both well worth seeing. Can't say a bad thing about either show.
Yeah, you figure, you know, you buy the show, it's like, I don't know why they were going to take it off anyway. I guess maybe to support buying the DVD, but, like, I think that's pretty cool that they have, like, if you just buy the show, you get it whenever you want to watch it forever. So, I mean, I'm a guy, you know me, Tom, and I like having the DVDs, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people just like having, like, that digital media real quick. So I guess, you know, anytime you want to watch that show, plus it kind of prevents illegal pirating, too, in a way, as well, if you want to, you know, have that show saved, so. You're better off.
Yeah, like between my Go Fight Live and my old Wrestling Net accounts, man, I have like so many damn shows now on both because I've pretty much ordered every show on both wrestling lines. So I got like this library of MP3 feeds of like wrestling, you know, like out the yin yang now, which is cool. I don't buy any of the DVDs that are right there in the computer anytime I want to go check something out on them. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
And before you cut me off, WSUI pay-per-view Saturday night that Mikey's going to order. Because we all know how much he loves women's wrestling. He's going to order a women's wrestling eye pay-per-view Saturday night.
We got sent these. There's Joey. I hear him in the background. We got sent these DVDs by our friends at Chaotic Wrestling, which I guess momentarily we'll be posting the reviews up in the next couple of days. When I type my review out, I was just watching the union. I guess they have like an intergender gauntlet, and Tom Green knows what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not really a huge fan of women's wrestling, and I had skipped that match, but I'm going to have to go back and watch it anyways. So I'm not like a huge – I don't hate women's wrestling. I just like women's wrestling with, you know, good women's wrestlers. And that's no offense to anybody, to any women who have taken far more bumps in the ring than I have. You know what I mean? I respect anyone who gets in the ring, you know, but I prefer not to watch it if I could avoid it, so I won't, but – I am kind of excited, though, in all honesty, kind of getting to the point here. I am kind of excited getting the WSU pay-per-view. You do have Nikki Rocks against Serena Deeb. That's going to be good. You are going to have Mercedes Martinez, who I do like. And I think even Jillian Hall is on the pay-per-view, so that's even interesting. And Brittany Savage is fucking hot, too. So right. If any, I could just look at
so
Brittany
after
Savage.
Getting done watching Blood and Guts, we're going to come back to Mikey's place and watch a bunch of tits and ass wrestling. What a day. What a combination. It's all good.
What a Saturday.
All of a Saturday.
What a Saturday we're going to have. And then all leads to Sunday with ROH. So I guess real quick before we do let you go, I don't know, Tom Green, I think you were going to say something too. But real quick though, Tom Richards, your thoughts on the ROH pay-per-view on Sunday. Oh, and there's Bellator Saturday as well. I knew there was something else on Saturday. There's a Bellator.
And that Bellator show has been hyped so well that the only reason I know it existed is because I was on your guys' website looking at upcoming shows and you had the card list.
Right?
I was like, wow, there's a Bellator show Saturday.
Exactly.
Otherwise, I wouldn't even know.
The MF report right on MikeandTomPresent.com. The belt. No, it's actually going to be good. It's going to be like the featherweight tournament quarterfinals, so it probably will be a good show, but no one's going to know about it. But that's Saturday, I guess. Sunday, ROH on Sunday. What your thoughts on ROH Sunday?
I'm excited for it. You know, like Eddie and Davey is going to be a great match. And I don't even think it matters really who wins, although I'm hoping for Davey because I've always felt he should be the ROH champ, but it should be an awesome match. The tag title four-way should be really good. I'm just really, 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 really disappointed that the O'Reilly and Cole against the Young Bucks is not going to be on the pay-per-view.
Yeah. You know, well, I guess because of the contract issues, I guess, you know, with pay-per-view.
But the way TNA screwed them, they deserve to give it right back to TNA and just come on pay-per-view and open with that match. You know, it's like, I mean, I know it's not going to happen. This is all my own head, but it'd be, like, so great. And there'd be nothing TNA can do about it, because if they took them to court, they'd get left right out because they did it first with Chris Daniels, you know? So they have, like, no legal leg to stand on because they started breaking contracts first, but it won't happen. But it's wishful thinking. But it gives us a reason to get the DVD.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom Richards, before we let you go, I don't mean to go backwards, but what did you think about that four-way from the Open the Southern Gate show with Jimmy Rave and Lindsay Dorado and Sugar Dunkerton? And
Good. I'm Sugar Dunkerton's really growing on me. I like him more and more. And I like Lindsay. I was disappointed he moved to Florida because he was one of the things I was really starting to enjoy to heel Lindsay Dorado and Chikar. I thought they could come as a heel. He was really coming into his own. And Jimmy Rave looked good after not seeing him in a while. I mean, it was all good. I thought the tag match on that show with Seaman and Johnny Gargano involved was tremendous and probably the best match on the show.
Even the – wasn't Chuck Taylor and Tozawa against Pac and Ricochet? Wasn't that a match or something along those lines? What was it?
Yeah, that was the main event. And then, Shima against Gargano was like semi-main, I think.
Yeah.
That was a semi – I guess because I watched the two shows back-to-back. I kind of – they all like blend together a bunch of great matches and what was on one night almost confusing, you know, because it was like all the same guys ripping it up and having good matches. And then North Carolina, really nice building and a hot crowd. I hope more people run there. I guess Chikara's going back.
Which is good, because that building's awesome.
Yeah. It's a cool building. The crowd was hot and came off good on the iPay-per-views and DVDs, so that's a good thing. You know? Yeah.
So I do think we're going to close out, though, because good old Leonard Chikara is expecting us to call him here in about a minute. But once again, I want to thank you as always, Tom Richards. It's been real fun as always. And I am very much looking forward to hearing you guys talk about Tournament of Death in the car this weekend.
Definitely.
That'll be fun.
But with that, I think we're going to go to a break here. And when
I'm going to make one announcement quick.
Go ahead. The floor is yours, my man.
Yeah. Well, two things. One, after Ring of Honor, there's Deathmatch Tournament iPay-per-view, which we are going to get here at my place and check that out. If you want to report on that on your website, I could do it, make it a whole night of wrestling. But coming up in the upcoming weeks, I'm going to be starting a podcast. And it's just going to be a quick, like, 15-minute weekly thing, giving you the rundown of the independent shows from the weekend and the upcoming indies and any news for the week and a quick fast food service podcast for anybody that's in indie wrestling that doesn't have time to go searching around the internet for indie news. This will be the spot for you to get your quick fix of what's going on from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla to Dragon Gate to Evolve and everything in between. Coming
awesome.
Soon.
Awesome. And this is actually news to me as well. So
yeah. Well, I've been talking to Mikey about it. I don't know if he's going to be on or not. He's been, it's kind of hard to gauge his interest and stuff, but it's definitely coming in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully you guys will put it on your website there.
Oh, for sure. You always have a home here on Mike and Tom Present. Though it looks like Mike Falcone currently doesn't have a home on this line because keeps kicking him off. But Mike,
all right, I'm here.
All right. All right, you missed the plug for Tom Richards' new podcast coming up.
Yeah, I completely missed everything because he was just about to say whatever he was about to say.
Well, see, you're going to have to listen to your own show to see what I said now, aren't you?
Exactly, I guess I am.
There's one extra download you're going to get.
There you go.
Don't forget to click on your banner to order the iPay-per-view while you're there.
Thanks for the plug.
But with that, I do think we're going to head over to Leonard Chikarison. So here in about 30 seconds, you'll hear my voice again. And then we'll be talking all the Chikara goodness coming up this weekend in the Midwest. So please keep the MP3 going. This is the third time we are trying to record the opening of this segment, so I'm not going to bore the two guys in the line right now with my whole spiel. Chikara. Thank you, Mike. Chikara is playing to Chicago, Illinois, Taylor, Michigan, and Cleveland, Ohio this weekend. On the line is a guy that will be there all three nights talking over the action. Leonard F. Chikarison is on the line. And, Leonard, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear everyone again.
Yes.
This is
awesome.
Fantastic. It makes it feel like I'm on the Dr. Keith show, the Dr. Keith, the Benji Bronk of the wrestling world. But your guys' show with Alan last week, where you guys are like, yeah, this is the 15th time we've met.
Yeah, it took a fucking long time, as I swear already, took up. But no, it's all good. But no, we wanted to have you on, I guess, there, Chikarison, because I'll probably stay out of most of this conversation here because Tomboy over here will be going to the Chikara show Friday night. So I guess you're looking much forward to that there, Tommy. So why don't you go ahead and, talk about that. And Chikarison, you can kind of throw your two cents on the big weekend, I guess, you guys got going on in Chikara land. So
yeah, I love how you worded it, like I'm going to talk the whole time and then just here to like be like, yeah.
No, I know.
Well, wait, before we get into that, and I appreciate you guys having me on to talk about the shows this weekend in the Midwest, and you guys had mentioned before in the previous two times that I guess there's another segment here that involves Tournament of Death this weekend. Mike, are you going to Tournament of Death this weekend?
I am, yes.
Oh, goodness. Last live results, I hope?
We won't have live results because I don't think I don't think there's like internet connection on the farm.
If DJ's parents don't have protected Wi-Fi, then I'm pretty sure you can.
Maybe I could just hop on the Wi-Fi on the iPhone and give some live Tournament of Death results. So that it's possible. I can't promise anything, but I can promise whoever we will have WSU results Saturday night.
That's featuring Brittany Savage, who Mike's creamed all over already.
Brittany Savage, Jillian Hall, and all these. All the women superstars.
Uncensored.
Just real quick before we get into everything else, and again, these shows always break apart. So, we're going to get into Chikara and everything that's going on. And, Tom wrote up this awesome thing about the Friday show on the site. Like, I'm getting my notes together, and I see that Tom puts this thing up on the website. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to steal all his notes for my notes. That's awesome. But we this past weekend in Philly was the Wizard World East convention, which is big. I'm a big comic book person, no secret at all. And it's always very confusing to me because on all their propaganda that they send out, they abbreviated this WWE. So when I hear it talked about, I'm like, what are they? Are they talking about like World Wrestling Entertainment or Wizard World East? And again, WS should sue them for that. But they're only in Philly once a year, so I don't think it's that big of a deal. Yeah. However, there are tons of wrestling people there. Tons, tons, tons of wrestling people. Now, I don't want to disparage anyone, and anyone, you can go and you can figure it out, but there was someone who was one of the contracted female wrestlers at the show who appeared Saturday night at the Wizard World thing in no condition to stand at a booth and sign autographs and had to be taken out by security due to their condition, I guess.
Did she enter through the back door?
No. No. I've already said too much. I don't want to, run anyone's name through the mud already more than it's been through. But she was part of Team Madness at one point, with the Macho Man comment from before that made me think of it. But yeah, when I'd heard that happen, I'm like, oh, that's crazy. I missed it. But it was a good turnout at the comic book thing. Chikara had a table there.
Yeah.
Yes, and there's nothing better than the combination of people, girls dressed up in sexy comic book costumes and Icarus. That is a recipe for disaster.
Now, I've been to Wizard World a couple of times out in Chicago, and I always notice that, when they put the wrestling personalities out, they put them next to, the weirdest, celebrities. Like, I remember one year, I was walking through, and it was, Virgil, Brian Christopher, someone from Stargate, I think Balls Mahoney, and then Joyce DeWitt. Like, all in a row. and it was amazing. I'll go ahead.
They had them pretty much, in sections of three. It's three, then a little break, then three, then a little break. The weirdest one for me was Raven, Nikolai Volkoff, and Brian O'Halloran from Clerks.
those checks from Ted DiBiase aren't coming anymore for Nikolai. Poor guy.
I guess. There's a whole other thing I want to talk about with that, but that'll be for later. Anyway, Chikara.
That's Chikara. Speaking of comics, real quick, want to show, because I believe our good friend Dr. Keith is involved with this whole thing. Before the show, if you're coming to the show and you have nothing to do that afternoon, show up to Challengers Comics between, I believe, 2:30 and 4, and there will be all sorts of Chikara personalities hanging out. And Dr. Keith told me personally he will be there serving punch and cookies. So if you've ever wanted to be waited on by Dr. Keith, that's the time.
Well, with the wrestlers that'll be showing up there, you better have vegan punch or vegan cookies, or they'll be heck to pay.
I better start my trek out to Chicago now so I can make it on time for this. But if I couldn't come out for Tom's wedding, then unfortunately I wasn't gonna be coming out for the Chicago. But I wish. If I had planned it ahead of time, maybe I would have made it way out, because there's a lot of good matches, I guess, on all three shows. And I guess this show on Friday, I guess, is like the return to Chicago. And what did you say, Tom, about the building? I guess it's a pretty cool building.
Yeah. If I remember it correctly, about a year or two ago, Pabst Blue Ribbon ran a wrestling show at this theater.
Really?
And I saw pictures of it. It looked like the coolest little, hipster theater the world, and it had it looked like really good sight lines for wrestling, and it just looked like a really quirky little place to have a wrestling show. So if it's the same building I'm thinking of, it should be an awesome venue. So
looking forward to it.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited. Any new places? I think the Friday night and the Saturday or the Sunday night shows are both new venues. Saturday is that awesome flea markety place that we were at last time around. Oh, that place is awesome.
Speaking of flea markets, because I have to reference her at least once a show, my wife's I believe it's her uncle owns a gigantic flea market in her hometown, and it has an arcade. Does this place have an arcade?
No, it's like one of those little things where you walk in the door and they have a grabbing machine and I think some sort of motorcycle game, but one of those sit down motorcycle deals. But that was 2 years ago, the last time we were here. They probably got rid of all those things, and I'm sure that the grabbing machine is filled with all sorts of dumb nonsense that nobody cares about.
Yeah. Well, that goes to the territory. Speaking of grabbing, let's talk about this Matt Classic and throwbacks against the Bateri match. I had a catch wrestling joke to throw in there somewhere, but couldn't really get it in there.
I was gonna comment about your ham-fisted segue there.
Yes. It was. I'm not good with these anymore. That's the thing. I need to get better at these segues now that I've I'm back. I took a few weeks to rest, and my segue talents.
You'll get it back, completely. Man. You'll be all right.
Yes. So yeah, we got the throwbacks in that classic. It's the Battiri. Interesting to note because King of Trios, we had the issues with throwbacks and Matt Classic. But this match is straight up Chikara wackiness. It looks like you have the antics of Matt Classic. You have them, you know, in there with the little monster looking guys and the baseball player and the basketball player. It's vintage Chikara, to quote someone who shall not be mentioned. He was on TV. He was on TV last night, that's all I'll say.
We're not going to mention Michael Cole on here. Do you guys have heat with Michael Cole or something?
Yes. He's running opposition to us, actually. I wish.
Well, that's going to be a very interesting match because, as you mentioned about Matt Classic and the throwbacks, they didn't seem to be on the same page, but who really is on the same page as Matt Classic? You know, he's nearing 100 years old, but is in fantastic shape. And then the throwbacks have an issue with the Battiri, and Cobalt is just an annoyance at every level. And again, I'm waiting for somebody to get their hands on him, and when they do, I'll be very happy for them to like tear that, you know, that leather working outfit that he wears. Probably had it made at some sort of weird fetish shop, knowing him.
which is funny because you guys are running in Chicago, which if you trek like a mile outside of that area, you're hitting all sorts of weird leather shops that I won't mention.
Really?
Yeah, it's something I remember I went to an IWA show around that area in like 2006, and we got lost, and we ended up in like the section of Chicago where they're very proud of the fact that they have a fellows who love other fellows running all the businesses. And yeah, it was an interesting experience trying to get directions to the professional wrestling show at the hotel with bloodstains in the elevators. But moving on, we have an interesting bout. Ophidian and Hierakon, who aren't the normal Osirian Portal team, facing a couple guys from the Galley promotion, which is a little lucha-based fed out in the Chicago area. I believe it's pronounced Imperador and the Ripper. Ripper is of course, the hard one to pronounce out of those two. It should be interesting just because no one really knows a whole lot about the Galley-based team.
No. Right, and you know the Galley based team. You know, I'll let you know. I'm almost certain that they were supposed to be in for King of Trios. I think there's a third member of the group there, and I'm not sure exactly what happened. But this always happens, as you mentioned in your write up for the show. These things can go one of two ways, and I think being paired in there with the Osirian Portal is going to err on the side of good as opposed to questionable. The Osirian Portal, specifically Ophidian, who has a big weekend ahead of him himself, specifically on Saturday. Nonetheless, I think that is going to be a sleeper match, and I think being that hopefully the Chicago crowd is familiar with these guys from Galley Lucha and can get behind them, because the Osirian Portal, you know, everybody knows the Osirian Portal and everyone loves the Osirian Portal, so I'm not worried about that.
Speaking of guys that Chicago loves, Colt Cabana will be in action against Eddie Kingston in a match that's got a lot of people talking. Because in a world where everyone has wrestled everyone on the independent scene, these two have never locked horns in a one-on-one match. Differing styles to an extent, but hopefully it should create a pretty interesting bout. I'm very much looking forward to that one, and I think a lot of others are as well.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and you think that everyone has faced everyone, but it's lucky that so many people end up in different promotions at different times and never end up crossing paths. I think the period of time that Kingston was in Ring of Honor, I think Cabana might have been in WWE, and then when he came back, he wasn't in Ring of Honor anymore. Just on this show alone, not counting like big, tag matches, there is three. The tag matches, but there's two first-time ever matches, this being one and another one being one of the 12 large matches that we have on the show, at least singles matches. But there's a lot of new pairings on all these shows, and I think that's one of the things that Chikara does a lot of times. In a group like this, you'll see them come and bring the matches that everyone knows, and you get to see some of that with Chikara, but you also get to see a lot of mixing and a lot of, like, new interesting matches, and I'm looking forward to this Kingston versus Cabana match. I'm a huge fan of Cabana. I'm a huge fan of Kingston, and to see these two face off is going to be pretty awesome. Yeah. I know that you said that the styles are a little bit different, but I think those are the matches where you see Cabana really shine, in those matches where he's against someone who's, you know, really, really different than he is, and there's nobody more different than Cabana than Kingston.
For sure. And something you mentioned, you know, about the first-time matches, something I want to commend Chikara for is, you know, coming into these towns, you know, not necessarily for the first time, but the first time in a couple of years, Chikara could just sit back on their laurels and be like, okay, we're gonna bring the guys out here, but we're going to do, you know, not necessarily like a B-show, but like the same pairings, you know, you see everywhere else. No, Chikara's blasting full force ahead. Some awesome, awesome pairings. A lot of, like you said, a lot of first-time pairings. A lot to look forward to. But speaking of a lot to look forward to, the next match I'm mentioning, I predicted boldly on the website. I'm thinking this is match of the night going into this thing. Soldier Ant and Green Ant of the Colony facing Johnny Gargano and Chuck Taylor of Fist, coming out of King of Trios where their collective trios tore it up in the main event of the third night. I'm expecting a lot out of this. Johnny Gargano's got a lot of momentum coming in from Dragon Gate and various other groups, and this should be a fantastic match.
Yeah, and again, it's interesting to see the pairing of Soldier and Green Ant, you know, in a tag match. Usually you're going to see Soldier and Fire, and obviously Fire Ant has other things going on the Friday show, but there's so much to be said about Chuck Taylor and Gargano, and obviously with them having a tag match here, a tag match on Saturday night, obviously with Icarus being in the 12 large tournament, these guys, I'm sure, are focusing on getting those 3 points for the tag title.
For sure. And yeah, it's going to be just a flat out awesome match.
Either. Yeah, that's gonna be good. I was gonna say that's gonna be just because I'm anxious in seeing Green Ant wrestling, like, you know, guys like Gargano and Chuck Taylor, like, kind of, like, more well-established guys. Because Green Ant's getting better and better, man, every time. And, you know, he's coming off that injury, and I think he's looked good. You know, he's kind of shook off that little, you know, ring rust, I guess, whenever, you know, you're out for that, you know, extended period of time. So that's going to be a good match. I'm looking forward to that a lot, I think. You know, plus Chucky T is coming back. I guess he was kind of banged up a few weeks ago, so I guess this is kind of his maybe his first couple of matches back since his injury a few weeks back at the Dragon Gate shows.
Yeah, that totally slipped my mind. Actually, it wasn't the Dragon Gate shows he was injured at. It was the PWG show.
That's right, yes.
Where he got injured.
Yeah, because he wasn't on the Dragon Gate shows. Correct, right.
Because of the injury. And then Brody, I'm sure you guys just saw.
Yeah.
Brody's going to be out for upwards to 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that stinks. Because, like, you know, and again, Brody, you know, he had that little rough patch there against Vin Gerard, but with the 12 large tournament, I think he was definitely poised to do very well in this tournament, and then obviously being out for 4 months, I'm sure you'll see some sort of announcement made after this weekend in regards to what his status in the tournament's going to be.
Yeah, he was going to be wrestling Kingston on Sunday in a first-time-ever match when you're speaking about a first-time-ever match. So I guess that card got switched around. We'll talk about the Cleveland show in a few minutes. But, yeah, he was supposed to wrestle Kingston on Sunday. So real sad to hear about Brody Lee, and I guess, you know, with Chuck Taylor, too, as well. Hurt. I think this is kind of his first match to come back because he wasn't – yeah, that's right. He wasn't on the Dragon Gate shows. That's right. He got hurt at the PWG show. Yeah, so his first match back, if I'm not mistaken, at least if he hasn't wrestled, like, on any smaller shows in the meantime, I guess, you know, the past week or so, but – that'll be interesting.
Yeah, if it happens in Kentucky, it doesn't count. So I'm sure he has some matches there.
Well, if it happens in Kentucky, it's very expensive, as those guys actually have to pay for licenses, which I feel
really
bad for them. Yes, Kentucky is, like, because of the whole, you know, IWA deathmatch thing back in the day. Like, the Kentucky Commission is, like, hardcore, I guess. Like, guys have to pay for licenses. They have to pay, for, you know, get all their blood work done and all that. And that's why you don't see a lot of groups other than OVW that are, you know, real. I think it's like Ring of Honor had to get a bunch of guys licensed too when they ran there. So it's really.
Well, I know. It's obviously a little closer, you know. But I think we just announced that we're going to be doing a show in October in Tennessee. You know, it's kind of close to Kentucky, to everyone in Kentucky. But yeah, I know Maryland, you have to, like, every wrestler has to be licensed in Maryland. It's not as extraneous as the process that you're saying as what it is in Kentucky. And New York's the same way. Like, everyone doesn't have to be licensed, but everyone has to have a physical. If you set foot in the ring for any reason, you have to have a physical before you're allowed to even go near the ring.
Oh,
Because, you know, you obviously you had to be in tip-top shape in order to hold up the Campeonato's belts. When you were,
exactly.
Yes. So speaking of the 12 large tournament we mentioned earlier, we have a few matches in that tournament coming up this coming Friday night in Chicago, including one I'm very interested to see. Normally the BDK, they're, you know, the super Rudo faction, not very nice fellows or fellettes in this case. However, there is one person in Jakara hated above all else, that being Icarus, and he's facing Cerro Del Rey on Friday night in what should be an interesting contest. And Del Rey actually put up a blog today via the Chikara website and Facebook where it kind of sounds like she's going to be the fan favorite undoubtedly coming into this bout with Icarus, whose picture on the Chikara website kind of makes him look like a finger with some sort of fur coming off of the bindi part.
You know, you mentioned before of all the things that BDK has done over the last almost 2 years here in Chikara, you know, all the you know, what they've done to all the technicos throughout the course of these several shows. You know, Cerro Del Rey could have came up to the ring, kicked a fan in the face, you know, poured somebody's drink on their head, pushed an old lady out of a wheelchair, and as soon as Icarus came up through that curtain, she would have been Hulk Hogan.
Exactly. Because, yeah, Icarus is Nikolai Volkov. He really is. Nikolai Volkov in 1985 to the Chikara main. He's an evil man with a colorful tattoo on his back. So expect lots of kicks to the kidneys for poor Icarus. And moving on here, unless you had anything else to mention about that bout.
I was going to say, you know, don't put it past Icarus. You know, a lot of times people might go in there and go one way or the other when facing a woman, whether it be not take them seriously or, you know, go in there and try to rough them up a little bit because, you know, try to take advantage of them because they're a woman. I think Icarus is coming to this match with a whole different mindset, and I wouldn't be surprised if Icarus has something up his sleeve to get in ahead of Cerro Del Rey.
For sure. And we also have our second 12 large tournament bout, a very interesting match. Another one of those first time ever matches, I do believe. Fire Ant facing Ultramantis Black. I mentioned on the website, throughout the past year or so, Mantis has had a few matches kind of, I don't know necessarily where he goes out. I don't know if he's going out necessarily with this purpose, but it's kind of breaking him out of that mold of the whole, you know, he's not just the persona. He's not just the guy that has lots of feuds. He's a very good in-ring wrestler, and this should be another one of those bouts as Fire Ant is one of the best on the roster.
Again, you said it yourself. Fire Ant is definitely one of the best on the roster, and you had mentioned in your write-up on the website there that, you know, you wouldn't be surprised to see Mantis walk out of this whole thing the champion, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised either, but Fire Ant is going to be a tough hill for him to climb, no puns intended there, but I definitely think that's going to be a very good match. I do know actually that they did have a singles match once before, I think back in 2006, but even still, you know, 2006 Fire Ant and 2006 Ultramantis Black are completely different wrestlers than who they are today.
As Mike is watching The Office on TBS.
I was going to say, I'm sorry, could you hear that? Yeah, let me...
That's kind of how I imagine, like, you people out in Pennsylvania live with that song in the background at all times.
Well, it's from, around Jakar and I's local area with Scranton, Pennsylvania, with the whole Office thing, but not so much anymore. I don't know, I just have it on just because it's like... It's something on Tuesday night when nothing much else is on. But no, Ultramantis and Fire Ant, though, getting back to this show, I mean, that sounds like an awesome match. And it's kind of like I was trying to think of, like, the last time I remember these guys facing each other one-on-one, and it probably has been, you know, a while. So very intriguing for Ultramantis and Fire Ant. And here I was thinking that was going to be the main event, but I guess they recently added a third 12-large summit match with Claudio and Hall of Wicked. So that's going to be another good one as well. So another one, Tom.
Yeah,
I guess your take on that one.
I believe they wrestled in 07, and I believe they tore it up in 07. I think I have the year right. But again, like I said in the write-up, these two have improved even that much more since then. And like I also said in the write-up, when you think of the cornerstones of Chikara, you obviously think of Mike Quackenbush, but then right behind him, you have Claudio Castagnoli, I believe the only two-time with two different partners, Campeone de Pareja, in the history of the company. And then you have Hollow Wicked, who's been around since the beginning and been the most underrated, unfortunately, member of the roster, but been an awesome.
He's always been around, you know what I mean? He's like a guy who's really been up there too, you know?
Yeah, and these two are going to, I'm totally sure they're going to tear it up once again. And I'm sure at some point we'll see a moment like the last one where they both decided, hey, we're going to kick each other in the face and both men's chins will explode.
And, you know, you mentioned Hollow Wicked there, and we said before that he's one of the underrated guys in Chikara. He's been there since the very beginning, and he can always be counted on to have a really good to great match. And he's already one of the few people to already have a match in the 12-large tournament and to be victorious. And I think I'd mentioned on commentary with Mantis during that match, you know, if things go, you know, according to the Spectral Envoy's plan, you could very well see a finals of Hollow Wicked versus Mantis for the title. Yes. They are in separate brackets.
That's right.
So it'd be very interesting to see those two come down to the finals against each other.
Definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things happening. I guess, how long is this round robin tournament going on? It's pretty much for the entire summer, right? It's summer and the fall shows.
I think it's going to go past the summer only because, you know, August is going to be Young Lions Cup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, obviously, all things considered, the plan would be for everything, you know, end up with the champion being crowned before the end of the year. Don't hold me to, you know, how this is all going to play out. Obviously, as we mentioned before, with the series of injuries that we've seen, whether it be Brody Lee being injured, Jigsaw being injured. I know he's supposed to be back in about a month's time if everything continues there. And then Amasis being out, you know, just say that this tournament has been a headache so far with all the injuries and everything else. You know, it's very unfortunate. We hope everyone gets better, but it still doesn't change the fact that it just, you know, just throws a wrinkle into all the plans.
Exactly. Well, you guys are adding more shows too. I guess obviously they just added a show in Tennessee. There's a return to North Carolina, so there's gonna be plenty of shows, I guess, for any matches to take place to happen. So.
Well, and we all know. I was going to say, we all know that the finals is going to be Gunnar and Scott Steiner.
Hopefully.
Oh, wait, wrong tournament. Sorry.
I hope so.
You're the one doing this. I'm just saying. Come on. 7 points for a victory and 10 points for a submission victory? Can they make this thing more confusing? I defy anyone with a sane amount of, like, time to follow this thing, and like, I'm sure there's thousands of people on the internet. Well, I'm sorry, you know, it's Impact Wrestling. Hundreds of people, I'm sure, are going to follow this thing with a fine tooth comb and point out every mistake. So they are going to have to be so on the ball about this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whatever happened to like 1 point or no points? Well, you know, by putting all these crazy things in there, they're just making it so much harder for themselves. And they're not, they're not a promotion that sticks to details very often. You know, things change literally on a week-to-week basis, and now here they are. I can't even imagine what that's going to look like. And when is Bound for Glory or whatever?
It's middle October.
Oh, until October. Yeah. So, never mind. You brought it up. Now my head hurts. I need to go have a drink.
Yeah, I apologize.
Yeah. What I was going to say is I'm sure the matchmaker that put this together is the same guy who obviously scored the points for the Dub Cup. Where, you know, you throw the guy's head in the cotton candy machine, 10 points, or you win automatically.
I think, it had to go around for one full rotation. I do know that. If they threw that into these, that would make it all worthwhile. that you automatically win the whole tournament if you somehow get someone to a cotton candy machine and get their head around the one full rotation. Right. Like, that's like a secret rule that the network put in or some nonsense like that. And, like, Eric Young, of course, figures it out because he's Eric Young, and that's what they do with Eric Young in Impact Wrestling. So, and again, who's in this tournament anyway?
I shouldn't have brought up TNA, but yeah, because they're having, I guess it's kind of coincidental because TNA is having like their own little round robin challenge tournament for a title shot. Although this is for the title belt, not the title shot. And I'm sure, actually, I'm not, yeah, more than sure. You know, Chikara will probably pull theirs off a lot more better than Impact Wrestling will. But yes, Chikara is having this show, I guess. If there's anything else we wanted to talk about the Chicago show, because I do want to mention the other two shows real quick before there was a few things I wanted to talk about as well. But
Mike, those shows don't matter because I won't be there.
Ah, yeah, I know they won't. They won't matter.
Yeah, I think a little highly of myself. I know
there's
the
just a bunch of stuff happening.
Taylor, Michigan. Psh. But no, the Soul Touches coming back to Chicago with Chikara for the first time. I don't even, were they on the original Chicago show? And I think it's 07-08. Were they on that show?
Yes, they were.
Okay.
They most certainly were. Yes.
Okay. I was, for some reason, I didn't think they were, but yeah, my memory is completely shot. They're coming back with a vengeance, facing the guys that took out Diamond and C-Red in Philadelphia back in November. That being Tersus, Aries, and pal of the show, Tim Donst. And it should be a barn burner.
That will be a good, yeah. Because this is gonna be like, because it's like a big grudge match, right? I guess it's for their girls' pride. She got taken out in C-Red. So this will be interesting. Chikara, and you're gonna say, I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say the Soul Touches have lots of BDK that whole weekend, whether it be the Friday night show here. The only difference, obviously, they don't get their hands on Claudio until Saturday, and I'm sure Claudio's plan is to send Aries, Tersus, and Donst in there to soften them up so it'll be easy pickings. Why did I think that they had another match against them on Saturday? Look at me.
I think it might be, I'm sorry. I don't know if they're going to be on, if they're on the show.
They're not on at least the Saturday show, because I'm looking at the MF report at MikeandTompresent.com, which I have to, you know, applaud Mark. Wow, I just goofed up your name.
Mark and Tim.
Yeah, Mark and Tim, which is actually what my father-in-law calls me.
And Tom.
Right, so I made a mistake there. I misspoke. I thought the Soul Touches were on the Saturday show. But nonetheless, BDK, I'm sure.
You're a busy man. It's okay.
There's a lot going on. You would think I would eliminate things from my life and it'd be easier to follow through with. But alas, it's not. No, but again, Soul Touches looking for to settle the score with the BDK, and they don't get their hands on Claudio, but I'm sure they'll be happy beating up Tim Donst. I know a lot of people are very happy when they get a chance to beat up Tim Donst.
Hey, everybody's happy when they beat on old poor Tim Donst, and I don't agree with that. He's a good guy, but he is also a dastardly member of the BDK, so he might just get what's coming to him, and I'm sorry to say that for you, Tim, but maybe you'll run into him, though, there, Tom, on Friday, and I think that'll be cool.
I'm sure I will, and I will come bearing gifts for certain individuals that have been on the show before.
I gotta tell Donce, by the way, that you can get every single episode of WMAC Masters on the 4kids.org website, I believe it is. It's whatever the production company is that like distributes like WMAC Masters and like other certain shows, you know what I mean, that you would see like on your WB and UPN affiliates back in the day, whatever. I think if you go to the website, like every single episode is on there. So that might be something where I might have to review those for the website. I don't know. I might have to have a lot of extra time on my hands in order to do that, but we'll see. But I know Don's a big fan of that show, so I want him to check that out. Maybe he could steal some liners for some promos or something.
Is it just the older shows like that? Because I should go on that. What was that site again? As I'm playing here,
kids.tv. It's Tunzay, TOONZAI. I guess they got like a bunch of anime stuff as well. So you can.
Yeah, because I don't know if you remember the Ultimate Muscle cartoon.
Okay. It looks like they got. Yeah, it looks like they got Dragon Ball Z, Yu-Gi-Oh.
Do you mean Toonzami? Because Toonzai is in the website.
Okay, whatever it is, I can't pronounce it correctly. But no, if you go on this website, there's Sonic X, there's WMAC Masters, there's Sonic X, there's Biker Mice from Mars.
That's awesome.
Exactly. So you can watch every episode that you want of WMAC Masters. But anyway,
I was gonna bring up real quick. Speaking of mid '90s awesome karate based shows. Has anyone noticed Once on Netflix right now?
Yes, I was actually going to mention this when Mike brought up WMAC Masters. But yes, it's crazy that not only, Big Bet, Beetleborgs, but also Teenage Mutant Ninja, or not, Power Rangers on there.
And VR Troopers.
Wow.
Dude.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, because there's a ton of different Power Rangers.
No, every episode of the American series, 730. There were so many that it like messed up the Xbox 360 Netflix interface.
Wow.
You can only watch the you could seriously only watch the first episode for like the first 4 days because they threw too many episodes on the server. And I guess like VR Troopers is a make good.
Yeah, I gotta get on this Netflix. I don't have
dude, it's I'm about ready to get rid of my cable because it's so awesome. Like, VR Troopers, you have to at least watch the first episode if you've never seen it before, listeners of the show. Just because there's a scene where good old Ryan Steele communicates with his dad via virtual reality. His dad's dead, by the way, and he starts crying, and it's the most horribly emotional scene in the history of television. Brilliant.
I've probably seen it when it aired back in 1993. So
94, 95.
It's been a while.
I just remember it because Ryan Steele's character in the trooper suit was the heavyweight champion of my figure fed when I was little.
I got
2 weeks. Dude, Guile from Street Fighter was my midget division champion because the Street Fighter figures are really small.
Oh yeah. I had them. I had some of those.
Were they the ones that were like the same makeup as the G.I. Joe figures?
Yes, because I had a couple G.I. Joes as in my midget division as well. And because Guile was so jacked up, like I would have him beat up all the midgets, and then he would like go in and body slam Sting, and everyone would be like, oh my goodness, a midget just body slammed a full-size guy. What's the world coming to? And it would build up to like the midget champion facing the full-size champion and getting slaughtered. Because he's
the full size champion.
The full size.
Was that the title's name? The full size champion.
Yes. And they both got lots of blood all over their faces.
Now, what did you use for blood? You didn't use like a Crayola washable marker, did you?
I used both Crayola crayons and washable markers. Because my figures I just saw them a few weeks ago in storage. They are like disgusting, covered in red.
Yeah, I never did that. I never wanted to get them dirty. You know what I mean? Or get them filled with crayon.
Whereas I ran the first American Deathmatch Fed.
There you go.
Speaking of loveliness, Jakar will be in the Midwest, not just Friday, but also Saturday and Sunday. Saturday in Taylor, Michigan. Sunday in Cleveland, Ohio. Real quick, just looking at some of the big matches on those cards, since we spent a lot of time on Chicago, since, of course, once again, I will be there in attendance. Give me a high five if you're there, people. Let's see. We have a couple more 12 large summit bouts. On Saturday, Eddie Kingston and Ultra Mantis Black, as well as Mike Quackenbush and Ophidian, which interests me a lot, because if I'm remembering back correctly, they had a really good match when Ophidian debuted in Chikara.
Yes.
I'm thinking of somebody else.
I think I do remember that.
Yeah, it was very early on. It was in that mid to late 2007 where he debuted, and then Amasis debuted shortly thereafter. And again, as we had mentioned before about some of the guys, whether we're talking about Fire Ant and Ultra Mantis, you know, you look at how far Ophidian has come along in just like 4 years in wrestling, and it's just amazing how good he is. And then, again, of course, Quackenbush doesn't want to go with a second loss here in the tournament. and then Mantis having matches back-to-back nights in the tournament, and then, you know, if he gets through Fire Ant, you know, he's going to have Eddie Kingston to deal with, and whether Eddie Kingston wins or loses the night before against Cabana, you know, he'll tell you this, Kingston wants that belt more than anything else, and, you know, whatever issues he may or may not have with Mantis, you know, they're not buddy-buddy, but, you know, they're, you know, Chikara originals. They're from back in the day, so they have that bond. Once that bell rings, the only thing that's going to be bonded in Kingston's mind is going to be his fist with Mantis's face. So he's got to be careful.
Also, looking at this card, we have the return to Chikara of Gregory Iron facing Ikaris after their bout in, I believe, Easton a couple months ago. And I would mention the Clash match, but I can't pronounce the name of one of the teams, so they're bringing a six-man. I will avoid the embarrassment of pronouncing that team's name. And then also, once again, Sunday in Cleveland, big show. I believe it's an afternoon show because I believe AIW might be running the evening, if I have...
Yes.
Yes. So get there early if you're going to come watch Chikara. There's no 12 large summit matches. However, there is a Young Lions Cup bout with Kadama and Frightmare. Also on the card, the return of the Olsen Twins as they face Aeroform, the Ulse Ice Creams, and Oberion and Cobalt in a four-way matchup. Lots of points on the line there. One team could end up with 3 points at the end of that match. Lots of really fun matches.
That seems like a good show. You even got Eddie Kingston and Hirokan on that show. I think that's gonna be a cool dynamic, seeing Eddie Kingston working with a little guy like Hirokan. I think that'd be fun, and even Cheech and Jakob I think will be cool too. So a lot of cool matches on that Cleveland show on Sunday. And that's a cool venue. I don't know if you've. I think it's the same one from last year, right?
No, as far as I know, it's a different venue from the last time that we were in Ohio, from what I've been informed. But again, I've sometimes been informed that it's going to be on Saturday show.
Yeah, it looks like this is the St. Gregory's Byzantine Hall. And I think the last time it was like a VFW or some sort of like a Legion Hall or one of those kind of places, I think. So that not a St. Gregory's Byzantine Hall. So obviously it must be a different place then, but. I remember there were like chandeliers at that place last year. They're hanging low, and it was fun times. But anyway, so
that was the show that had Danielson versus
Danielson and
Don's on that match, which was awesome match.
That was a really good match, definitely. So,
but you mentioned about the matches that are on there. There's an Atomicos match with Clap and the Colony against Fifth and Vin Gerard, which is going to be a very interesting dynamic, especially since Vin Gerard and Chuck Taylor are cousins. You know, Chuck Taylor has a lot of relatives in the business. He's got those two kids out in the Fightin' Taylor Boys.
The Fightin' Taylor Boys.
That's right. He's related to Vin Gerard, I think, on his mother's side. But the match you guys mentioned there with Cheech taking on Jakob, poor man's Adam Carolla there. Did you guys hear his podcast that he did a couple weeks ago?
I have not. I saw all the tweets, but and Ben Bohosko told me it was quite the spectacle. But I will have to go back and listen to that at some point.
Yeah, I got my eye on that match especially. I'm a big fan of Cheech. Cheech is an awesome dude, and he's a really good wrestler, very underrated. And again, this is not solicited by him in any way, shape, or form. But if you're not, you should be following Cheech on the Twitter.
Definitely, I agree.
And also, you guys should try to get a hold of Cheech to get him on the show, because Cheech is awesome. And, I think he would be a fun person to have on the show. You would get a kick out of him, because he doesn't really get a chance to, like, say all that much. You know, sometimes he'll get an opportunity.
He's been around
for
a long time, too, when you really think about it. I mean, like, he's going back to the Vordell Walker, man, the Vordell Walker match. And when Vordell Walker looked so good, everyone thought, oh, this Vordell Walker is so great. No, it was actually Cheech that made him look that awesome. No offense, Vordell Walker, don't kick my ass, but you know, like Cheech, and then even going back to like back in the old Chikara days with the we might talk about the last time with Franco and Turner against Cheech and Cloudy, man, just tearing it up even back then. Like Cheech is a guy who is so underrated for so many years. That's why I think like even the Dragon Gate show last year, like Cheech and Claudio were in the pre-show match, and it's like, why are they in the pre-show match? Like, I love Cheech, and I believe as well, we were just talking about his Twitter, he had tweeted that he had wrestled X-Pac over the weekend, so I have to like get my hands on this show by any means.
I'm with you. I really want to see that match because that match had to be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know that promotion, how often they put out their DVDs.
Yeah, me neither.
But I've got a few feelers up there, and if I get my hands on it, I'll definitely let you know how to get your hands on it. But I'm sure if you just follow Cheech on Twitter, which is New Wave Cheech, all is one word, you know, I'm sure he'll tell you because I know he was begging for followers the other day. So give him some love. And like I said, get in touch with him and get him on the show coming up soon. Even just to talk about that match, what you mentioned about the Turner and Franco match, like, even he was, like, floating around Ring of Honor in, like, 03 and 04, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
He was, like, 19th man down on Special K, you know? And
he was,
and now here he is.
He was in the rave when they did, like, the Wrestler Rave. Remember that? Like, it was the Trinity Acid Homicide at the, like, right, this was, like, right before they turned a year old, I think. It was, like, right around, like, that year anniversary or not the year anniversary show, the first Death Before Dishonor, I think they had that match. So, yeah, he's been around forever, so we'll have to mark that down, Tommy Boy. We'll have to get Cheech on the show. I'd love to. I think that would be a lot of fun. And even Brody Lee, too. We were talking about, I mean, not like Brody Lee's going to have too much time on his hands. I'm sure he has other stuff going on, too, but he'd be a guy now, you know, that maybe now that he's injured, you can kind of, looking back on his career so far, you know, I think he'd be a good interview as well. I think he was on, I think he did like a Figure Four Daily with Alvarez, and they really didn't go too far in depth into it, you know, I guess just because they wanted to cover basic stuff. So I'd love to get even Brody Lee on the show too down the line, so I'll have to look that up. But
Brody's an awesome dude. All those upstate New York guys,
exactly,
you know, obviously their reputation precedes them, but Cheech and Brody would be awesome to have on the show. Like, not together, of course, but even if you had them together, that'd be still pretty fly. But they'd be really good to have on the show. They have so many awesome stories. I know, you know, and again, this is, you know, obviously Brody, I'm sure, being out for 4 months, he was actually scheduled to be on a show before, I think right after the injury, it was the week after the injury, some show out in Ohio where it was a tag match, and I don't know who the other dudes in the match was, but it was supposed to be Brody and some dude against Kevin Nash and some other dude.
Oh, man.
And Brody was like, he's like, listen, I'm wrestling Nash. I can retire. I can hang it up after this. He was very, very excited. He's like, I'll get him up the powerbomb. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Speaking of guys to kick off the bucket list, I guess Big Bully Buzik has resurfaced, and he's working IWC.
Really?
Yeah, because the Super Indie came out that I think I had said something about that because the Super Indie came out. So when I went on their website, it had like Big Bully Busick's picture on it. I guess they're advertising him for next month. So that'll be pretty interesting.
So wait, Super Indie is already out on DVD?
Yeah, whoever IWC, I think they must have like local, like, you know, video editors in Pittsburgh, whatever, do their DVDs for them and like that. And it's already out. So you can go right now to IWCWrestling.com. I'm on it right now and get Super Indie 8, which happened June 18th, 2011, and it's June 21st, 2011. So there you go. I guess that's how fast they get their DVDs out. So maybe not as fast as Chikarosaurus, Rex, King, and Trios, but pretty fast.
I was going to say, that's pretty awesome that they got it out that quick. That's
really cool. Yeah, definitely. I think they probably, like I said, you know, they got their own guys that do it, so they probably get it done in a couple days. So good for them. I mean, that's really cool, you know. So always a fan of that. But anyway, yeah, Big Bully Busick will be on that show, Tom. I don't know. Where did that come out of? Were you just looking up something?
No, I was just thinking about that because Leonard brought up, you know, Kevin Nash kicking him off
bucket
list. And
yeah.
I'm sure there are a lot of guys out there that, man,
I know,
that wrestle Big Bully Busick.
I think Brody Lee, he'll get his shed eventually. Those things have a way of working themselves out sometimes. When one door closes, another one will open. So, but anyway.
But anyway, I was wanting to bring up real quick, like Leonard said at the beginning, we often bring him on for Chikara, and then lots of random stuff comes up.
There was one thing I wanted to ask, too. I don't want to interrupt you there, Tom, but when you're done, there was something I want to ask Lenny over here. So
there I believe coming up next week, or this coming Friday, actually this coming Monday, on the WWF Blogject begins a series of shows taped in front of your own eyes. Is this correct?
Yes. That is correct. The most recent WWF Blogject up on the site, you know, they have the picture of the crown and the cape that, you know, no spoilers here of who wins the King of the Ring from 1994 on this podcast. Wouldn't want to spoil that for anyone. But this person wears it only for that TV taping and then never wears it again because it looked ridiculous, and I think they didn't realize that at the time. Like, you can tell it looks ridiculous in those pictures, but it looked ridiculous when they were wearing it. And then that giant tote board that Todd Pettengill has, I want that for my house.
Oh, you have to. I know you're no longer the director of fun, but you have to. I'm sure you can talk to somebody about getting that for like Young Lions Cup or King of Trios, getting a replica of that. Where, you know, Bryce could be like, oh, you know, the Osirian portal will advance. I don't know who's going to advance. Double J, Jeff Jarrett, who knows?
You guys got to get one. Go to Staples or something like that. They got to have like one of those just. Big poster board team.
In the bracket aisle, of course.
Exactly. In the bracket aisle, yes.
There's money going around, of course, in this independent wrestling, I'm sure, as you guys know, getting rich off your bumper sticker money. But we don't have the deep pockets like Vinnie Mac had back in 94. But I was talking to someone recently in regards to tote boards and things like that. So, you know, you never know what you'll see in the future.
All right. Good.
But
so yes, the show was filmed at the fabled Mark Center in Wilkes-Barre. The show is very famous for many a thing, but I'm very excited to see how those matches hold up after some, you know, what, 17 years later. And I'm very intrigued to see how that all comes up. Have you watched the first ones yet, or
no?
Stream of consciousness sort of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. I don't know if you can tell from the bullet points, but I kind of have the DVD up in one part of the screen, and then I'm just typing while the show's going on. So, and then I post. Like, I used to be like a couple weeks ahead, and then I started working more often. And yeah, I barely got this one up one time. So. One question I had real quick, don't necessarily spoil if you remember any of these people off the top of your head. Were there guest ring announcers on this taping?
You know, I don't remember if there was.
Because those are like my favorite parts of these shows are these, I'll say, dorks that they bring into the ring. There's some of them seem like nice people. Then there's others. Like, there's a guy a couple weeks ago who like wore like a Razor Ramon shirt with like a tie and a suit jacket and was like... trying to like get a job, obviously, and it was just embarrassing. But goodness. So, were you wanting to bring? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I'll be very interested to see if they, you know, I do know for sure. I can say that I myself was not a guest ring announcer, but I'd be very interested to see if someone ends up being a guest ring announcer. Now, do they say their name, like their full name, when they show them on the shows?
Yeah, they bring up a graphic saying their full name, and then Jerry Lawler makes fun of them.
Oh, that'll be... I can only hope that it's somebody that, like, still lives in the Wilkes-Barre area that I run into from time to time. So I'm just like, hey, guess what? I remember. Remember 17 years ago? Remember?
Oh, I would die if, like, it came up, guest ring announcer Tom Richards.
Oh...
Like,
wouldn't that be something?
You can close down the site after that.
Yes. So what were you wanting to bring up, Mike?
No, I wanted to bring up before we head out here, I wanted to talk about real quick, I guess, in our little hiatus, the big DC start back from zero scandal or thing that I guess went on. Not really a scandal because I know... I guess, and we're not really like a comic book show, but I mean, I more or less just wanted to talk about it just because I'm just kind of interested in it myself, and I know you kind of add, you know, you can kind of add some insight to it. But what basically happened, because I find this as a really interesting business move where DC basically said, all right, we're going to start basically everything that we have from the beginning, right? Like, they're basically hitting the reset button, and I think you wrote a blog that you can get on mushroomjones.blogject.com. blogspot.com or one of those things. We'll have the link up. I think you kind of wrote something to it, but I guess like real quick, did you kind of want to talk about like what all went down with all this stuff?
I wrote two things about it. One was just essentially like the original thing when all the hubbub was going on online, and then another one where it's like all 52 titles, like who the creative teams are, and if you're a comic book person, you'll know who it is. But what you're saying is exactly correct. And like people, I know that you're very surprised. I mean, you'll be very surprised to hear this, but people, when it comes to comic books, especially on the internet, take things very seriously.
They're very sensitive.
Right. And again, it's very similar to how, you know, a lot of internet fans in regards to wrestling are as well. So when you see people talking about things of like, you know, how dare they take Barbara Gordon out of the wheelchair and make her Batgirl again? You know what? Last time I checked, Barbara Gordon wasn't real. You know, it was a story, you know, that, you know, a lot of people like and people have grown to love them and so on and so forth. But essentially what they're doing is, as Mike just mentioned, a lot of their titles, they're just completely relaunching from number one. And there's people that are even upset, like books like Action Comics, which recently just got to issue 900. It's been going on since the 40s. Detective Comics, which has been going on since the late 40s. Those books are getting new number ones, and people are up in arms, like you just like came into their house and robbed them. Like, how dare they put out a new Action Comics number one? Like, really? Is that what you're upset about? You know, that would be like, you know, that would be like people up in arms over the WrestleMania that they said was 2000 instead of the normal numbering thing. And I don't remember if people were up in arms during that time. But it's a huge risk for DC to be taking like this. And in this market, whether you're looking at wrestling or, in this instance, comic books, you have to take a risk. Because right now There's only about 150,000 people who regularly read comic books. And when I say 150,000 people, you know, you have books that sell as low as 20,000 and as high as 150,000. So I'm saying there's about 150,000. By doing this, by relaunching the entire line at number one, is a risk, but it's a risk that could pay off huge. But it also could blow up in their face. And we won't even know, and by we, I mean like the readers, won't even know the repercussions of this until like early next year, after these books have been running like this course for 3 to 4 to 5 months, to see if the sales are up, if they can retain the sales, and if they can't, how big, you know, how much the sales have dropped off. Because right now DC is doing a road show going around to like different like cities and stuff, just talking about the whole thing. And the guy who runs DC Comics said, you know, we've told every single person on one of these books they have to have the first three issues in by August 1st. No ifs, ands, or buts. And at the Comic-Con this weekend, you know, there's people who work for DC Comics there, and we were talking to them, and the one guy who's an artist, he's like, yep, I haven't even gotten a single script for any of my books yet, and he has to have three of them done by August. Right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and they've said that if people can't meet their deadlines, they're like, we're not going to give them second chances, we're just going to bump them. And if books don't hit a certain sales mark, we're not going to give them time to get their footing. You know, we're going to bump them immediately and replace them with something that is going to sell. Now, a lot of things are getting shaken up, but out of the 52 books, I'd say maybe like six of them aren't, and it's the six books that have been successful over the last 6 to 7 years, and it's like Green Lantern books, Batman books, and Justice League. Really, those are the books that are more like, well, Justice League is getting a big shakeup with a big creative team, but like the Green Lantern books and the Batman books are more or less saying the same, and everything else is just getting like a new fresh coat of paint to see if it sticks. And if it doesn't stick, we'll see what happens. For me, as a fan of comic books and a DC apologist, I just want to see good creators, writers, and artists on books. Like, I don't own one single Aquaman comic. I own over 6,000 comic books, and I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying it because I'm pretty ashamed of that. But I don't own a single Aquaman comic. But because of this, I'm going to try out an Aquaman comic because of the creative team that's on it. And if it's going to get people who already buy tons of comics to try out something new, or people who've never read a comic book in their life, to just try. It's like, hey, well, let's see what's going on with this Superman thing. You know, let's see this new shakeup. And it's kind of sort of being done from an angle of, let's not bog these people down in continuity, because there are people that are out there scared. It's like when they go to the comic book store and they look and they see issue like 900 or 904, they're like, oh, you know, I don't know if I could catch up to that. Like, even if they saw, like, issue 24, you know, and that's, unfortunately, a lot of people's mentality.
Yeah.
You know, and that holds people back, which is so silly that it holds people back. But if there's 52 number ones, like, obviously nobody's going to buy all 52 books. If they did, they're crazy. But it might get new people in. I know that they had said, I think they have like a multi-million dollar ad campaign getting ready to launch in July and August to hype this up. Like, I'm talking like TV commercials, you know, brand new websites, you know, things that, you know, the commercials that you always see before the movies for like 20 minutes before the movie actually starts. But they're putting a lot of money into this, and it's a huge gamble. And it could pay off or it could not pay off. And the other thing about it is they're doing the digital comics, which is like the future, if you will. And they're doing all the digital comics the same day that they come out in the stores. And to do that for their entire line is huge because, you know, they're not doing it currently. Marvel's not doing it currently. And, you know, it's a hit to the retailers, because if you offer the book online for the same price or even a lower price, you know, then why would I go to the store? And exactly. DC actually said that they have a thing set up, I think, and I could be wrong about this, and I don't know the percentage, but they're doing a deal with the retailers where if the retailers advertise in store that the people can get the books online, and they put, you know, they put the name of the store, like, where did you hear about this? That the retailers will get a kickback from those digital comics. Now, how much of a kickback that's going to be is another story.
Exactly.
But it's a huge gamble that DC Comics are making. I think, you know, I'm just looking for good stories. I don't care if the issue is 100 or a million and one. I'm going to buy it because it's good comics. And that's, you know, I could have went on for this for like another 9 hours, but I know we're getting to the end of the show, and I know you'd wanted to ask me about it before, and I kind of rambled. I do cover a lot of it, as Mike had mentioned, on the two blog posts that I have, and I'm sure if you find me on Twitter, and they'll link me on Twitter, you'll find the two posts in there. They're not too rambling.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad however long you want to talk about it. I just wanted to have you on just because I just found it really interesting. Like, it was such like an interesting business move, I guess. You know, I was very intrigued by this whole thing because maybe I kind of fell into one of those people where, you know, I don't read comic books, and I really wasn't going to start because I didn't really know where to start and, you know, like how to catch up, quote, you know, wherever, even though it might have been very easy to do so. But so maybe I'll try, you know, going down to my Comics and More, I guess is the name of the store at the Plymouth Meeting Mall. So maybe I'll go there. I think there's a comic book shop in the King of Prussia Mall too, so I can maybe even go to that one. So maybe I'll start getting in the habit of going to the comic book shop every couple weeks or so. So I guess plus there's always that too. It's like the comic book shop. It's like its own little thing in itself where people want to go to the comic book shop just to go there. You know, like, aren't they like developing like a show, like Kevin Smith's developing a show like for one of the cable stations, I guess, like on the comic book shop. So that'll be pretty interesting. So.
Yeah, he is doing a reality show in regards to comic books, and I have no idea what it could even be imagined, but I'm not a reality show person.
Yeah,
you know, outside of RuPaul's Drag Race, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, it is a whole other story.
But again, it'll be very interesting. And it's just that, you know, so many reality shows are just so cooked. And you know, there's the stereotypical view of, you know, a comic book fan, whether you watch The Simpsons or just like any sort of pop culture, a comic book fan has a very negative connotation. And not a knock on Kevin Smith, I'm a fan of Kevin Smith's movies, and unfortunately that's about it. I don't see this movie doing strides to change this reality show. I don't see it making strides to change people's opinion of what comic book fans are.
Or even wrestling fans. Like, I mean, you've seen me before. Like, I, you know, not to sound unmodest here, but I'm like a normal looking guy. I'm not like, you know, whatever. And I'm not saying anybody that goes wrestling fans are all, everyone's all hideous anyway. But it's like, I guess it's, you know, there's all kind of different people are all kind of different fans and things. Like,
by the way, Mike, well, my wife said hi.
Oh, I know.
I was just gonna say, you know, if you would ask Tom's wife, you're better than an average-looking fan.
Yeah,
I guess, but we're all fans. I guess it's even like The Big Bang Theory. I watched that too, and you kind of have like, you know, Sheldon, Leonard. You know, you kind of have even like those kind of guys in the comic book store, and you know, they seem normal. They're just a little weird. I think we're all kind of weird in our own way anyway. Hey, if anyone's listening to this and you're a fan of wrestling, you're probably weird. So I guess, hey, we all get along, whatever. So it's whatever. But but what were you going to say, though, Tom, besides Alex saying hi to me?
I was going to mention, you brought up the Kevin Smith comic book reality show.
Yeah.
Have either of you seen, there was a pilot made, like, in, I think, 2001 with Brian Posehn and Patton Oswalt, like, based around them working in a comic book shop.
I have not. I was going to say I have not, and I'm very shocked that I haven't because I'm
– on YouTube for, like, ever. I'll try to search it up for both of you and throw it on my Twitter tomorrow.
I love Patton Oswalt. I did see the Comedians of Comedy where they were like in the comic book shop, and I think Brian Posehn, they didn't have the bag and board or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Chikaris, and you could probably tell me, maybe you've seen very angry people and they don't have the bag and board, so they don't get their comics all scrunched up or whatever like that. I guess it's when they don't have them. But I did see that. I have not seen that though, Tom. So if you do find that, let me know. I'm a huge Patton fan, so.
I shall. I think we're gonna wrap it up though.
Yeah,
we got a while, and it's been a pretty good show as always with Leonard here on the line.
We went a little longer, I think, because we're gonna add this in the Tom Richard show. But you know, we'll usually, now that we're back on schedule, usually have our hour show, whatever. So yeah. I appreciate the extra time you gave us here, Chikaris, and I appreciate it. And have a good safe trip down to the Midwest, brother. And I hope everyone listening to us who is able to do so goes to the Chikaris shows and all that. Chip Cassie will be there, so
yes.
So that'll be fun.
Oh, you know what? Just real quick before we wrap things up, I know you guys got to finish things up and pass my bedtime.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, of course, you don't have Tom. You don't have the fancy recorder like Mike does to do like a post game wrap up show for Friday with.
I'm actually
Benji Bronco of the Internet Wrestling Community, Dr. Keith Lipinski.
I actually was telling Mike that I'm coming into some money in the next couple of days, and I'm probably buying a recorder specifically for this weekend.
Yeah, awesome. Make sure you grab Dr. Keith, and if you can, you know, if there's any other Chikara dudes floating around, I'm sure they'd be happy to run their mouths and plug whatever. You know, Twitters and so forth that they have. You know, Jakob will be there, Doss will be there. You can grab them.
Yes.
I'm sure they'll have a few words for you. Just trying to think what else. But yeah, anyone listening to this, definitely go check out ChikaraPro.com for the information. If you haven't gotten your tickets already for these shows, if you're in the Midwest, listen, even if you're on the East Coast, it's just a short 12.5-hour drive. You could do that, you know, no problem, believe me. It's not like I'm leaving at 4 in the morning the day of the show to get there. It's not anything crazy like that. But you can also, if you miss the show and want to pick them up, I'm sure they'll be available on SmartMarkVideo.com about 2 weeks afterwards, usually like a 10 to 14 day turnaround because SmartMark is awesome. And be sure that you, you know, if you're not following the Chikara Twitter for results, especially for Friday night, make sure that you follow the Mike and Tom Presents Twitter because I'm sure Tom will be doing results.
Yes, I will be. I'll probably be doing them on my own personal Twitter because. Originally, I was going to bring the computer with me and do them kind of like Mike Johnson does at the arena, but my computer is, like, literally in shambles. Like, it's in different pieces right now. Like, I have my keyboard over here. I have my screen over there. It's pretty much I'm using my laptop just for the hard drive at this point. So I'm just going to bust them out on my phone at Tom is not great for the Twitter results. And then, yeah, like I said, I'll be bringing the recorder to record something with someone after the show. So
Awesome. So again, guys, thanks for having me on the show. And
yeah, definitely. Thanks for coming on.
Not a problem, guys. Have a good one and enjoy Tournament Death.
Oh, looking forward to it, man. Really looking forward to it. You'll hear all about it, believe me.
I'm excited.
So with that, I think we're going to wrap it up. Once again, thank you very much, Leonard. Thank you very much, Tom Richards. And thank you all for listening.
Yep.
We'll be back probably this weekend with the post-game wrap-up show, and then we're pretty close to wrapping up the biggest guest in the history of the show for next week. Ooh. So we'll have more details on that when we're legally allowed to say his name publicly. So with that, thank you very much for listening, and we shall talk to you this weekend.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Bye.
We are.